Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now, your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, Coach. Man, June is almost gone.
Yes, it is. June is almost gone. I thought it was March.
No summer yet, man.
I got a hoodie on and jogging pants. I've been wearing them every day. A hoodie and jogging pants every day.
I know that's right. And ain't got no summer gear out yet.
Nope. And then at night, I leave the window open, about to catch a cold at night.
Yeah.
Don't even have to blow the AC.
I haven't turned it on all year, man.
Man.
Not once. But, hey, it's Michigan. Yep. It's Michigan, so you don't know what to expect. And we're going to. Just got to live with it, man. Yeah, what else are we going to do?
I know they had in the park, they had the lady in the park come today. This is Thursday.
Oh, yeah, Miranda. Yep. And yeah, then, down at Smith Ryerson.
Yeah, so it rained on her parade.
Yeah, it was noon to two, so yeah.
It rained on her. And then what else? They got the electric forest coming up also. That's going to be bad.
Yeah. Man.
That's $1 million profits.
Yeah, out there in them cornfields, it's going to be quite muddy, man.
And mosquitoes.
Yes, sir.
Dude, I know there were concerts people going. I know my wife liked going to that, so she going to be here. So she going to be, she was putting on her tarp or something today with that thing. The poncho. Yeah, exactly. I just look. I was like, why you got to
go need it?
I said, I'm making an outfit. I said, okay. I don't go to that. I ain't being in that rain. You like them concerts like that. But
no, give me indoor, man.
Yeah, but the weather, like you said, it's just, it looked like March, man. It's, they haven't used the AC. It's raining and just muddy everywhere. It's,
okay.
It's weird. So.
Yeah, but like I say, we got to keep it moving, man.
Yep. Before we get in the show, I want to give our PA them a shout out. They over in Ghana, Accra, Ghana, and it's a 400-year anniversary of Ghana. Ghana's becoming a tourist site globally. You know, it's a beautiful place, and they making some people moving over there, man. A lot of people from Muskegon live in Ghana right now.
Is that right, man?
Yes.
That's awesome.
So it's they doing, PA doing big things over there.
Yeah, he in the right spot then.
Yeah,
he in the head of the curve.
Hoo-wee.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, man. So just giving him and Big Rob and them and some of the radio crew out there, Mihan, out there with those other brothers and our sister station out in Ghana. So PA got a radio station out in Ghana, too. So.
Right. How about that? That amazing man. Brother International.
Man, he like the Russell Simmons. I've been giving him and Russell Simmons on different levels. And I think PA is more reachable and touchable.
Oh, no doubt,
celebrity,
man.
I would say that's our celebrity right there. But
yeah, man.
I compare him to Russell Simmons. That's how he reminds me of.
Yeah. So these kids are going to have an experience that they'll never forget.
Yes, sir.
You know, they can tell their kids that they were in Ghana, Africa on the 400th anniversary.
Wow.
Which is huge, man.
Yeah, but all the kids got great grades. And I know some of them families fundraised and people donated. Our community showed a lot of love. Just to let you know that Muskegon is the place to be, and it's, we're a growing city, and we always giving back in some capacity. Everybody's doing their share of something. It may maybe not be advertised. It may not get the big accolades in the paper or on social media, but everybody's doing something. Just keep on chipping in, community and family.
Yeah, because the tickets aren't free. The trip is not free,
okay?
And it costs.
Yeah, I think we was talking about that before we got on. It's like $3,800 per person.
Right.
To go.
$3,800, man.
But look, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been on a whole tour, Tony, for the 7 days we went, and – $3,800, I'll pay that twice to go with them again.
Okay.
It was a $10,000 trip.
Wow.
I'm just telling you like that.
Passport shots, man, all that stuff is included.
We did, the places we went to, that $3,800, man, that's like a pot.
So investment.
Drop in the bucket, Tony.
Yeah, for what you receive from a cultural experience.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Absolutely,
yes, sir.
Man.
Yeah.
Great.
So it's just going on with the show and just going into other things, but we got the NBA draft tonight, don't we?
NBA draft tonight, man.
Oh, man. I got
be interesting.
Yeah, I got the sheet. I hope it won't be no surprises tonight.
Oh, it's going to be. I guarantee you. There's some trades being made as we speak, man, based on what's happening in this draft.
Yep. I was talking to someone earlier, and they were saying it was 12 NBA champions since the 1980s. 12 teams really won a championship. You know, you got the Pistons, you got the Lakers, since the 1980s, right?
Okay.
I was like, wow, only 12 teams. I think it was your son talking about that. Yeah,
okay.
Period. Yeah, he was on social media. He sounded like an expert.
Oh, yeah. He knew about that basketball stuff,
I was like, who was that
talking,
man? He's like, I was born in 80-something. This was this. And in the 90s. And he said, only 12 teams. He broke it down like he was a real analyst.
Okay, then.
Yeah, I thought it was somebody else. Wow.
Yeah, I seen
that. It was
him
I was listening to.
Yep.
Yeah, Cameron did a good job, bro. Yes, he did.
But, yeah, he's excited about his Lakers.
Yeah, I'm excited about them, too. I'm going to I'm a migrant fan. I moved when LeBron moved. So
right. I'm going to follow LeBron.
Yeah, I had to wear the black with the purple, though. I can't wear the yellow with the purple. I can't do that. But I wear the black with it. But looking at the draft, the mock draft, I just want to go over these. And we're going to go over the first 14.
Okay.
That's lottery, right? Mm-hmm. After that, really, after the first four picks, it don't matter in this draft. It's looking like everybody's going to be average player after that. So at number one, there's no change up. I just know it's going to be Zion. He already got 4 million followers on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. They already own him. So I wonder what kind of deal that's going to break out from Nike, because Nike owe him because he bust out of one of their shoes.
Oh, they will pay him.
Yep. So they got handsomely. They got to do him right. So we got Zion coming out of Duke, number two. Ja Morant. I call him Ja. They call him Ja Morant.
Okay.
They compare him to Derrick Rose and John Wall. 6'3". I don't know. 6'3", probably weigh 3 pounds or 3 ounces the way he jumps.
Okay.
He jumps over people in games. I'm like, he's amazing talent, pure point guard. Number three, R.J. Barrett. I think somebody going to play with that trade right there. That's going to move. Because he reminds me of a Randy that played for Washington. Went to college at Washington, but went to the Portland Trailblazers and blew his leg out. Not Randy Foy, but man, I forgot the guy's name. Brandon Roy.
That's Brandon Roy.
Yes, okay, I remember that's who reminds me of R.J. Barrett. Brandon Roy, the guy had the Achilles tear.
Okay.
Yep. So, because he's a skilled player, his dad played Canadian ball. Steve Nash is his mentor.
Okay.
God, daddy, you know. So he's gonna have that. He's gonna
pedigree.
Be
pedigree.
Yep. And then Jared Cutler, the Lakers pick. They say he's come from Texas Tech. He was tough because they had all defenders, and he was the only offensive player they had besides that point guard. DeAndre Hunter out of Virginia, the champs. They say the Kevin Cavalier is going to pick him. Darius Garland. Then you got number seven, you have Kobe White out of North Carolina. And then this is a pick that I like for the Atlanta Hawks. Cam Reddish. He played with R.J. Barrett and Zion. He was a third guy. And in his high school highlight film was ridiculous. And I was like, he probably can go
to
the league.
He's the diamond in the rough.
Yeah, he can go to the league out of high school because he had the size. He can shoot the three. He reminds me of the Chris Bosh of that big three.
Okay.
In the Michigan State game, if they'd have went through him a little bit more, I think they would have won.
Oh, really?
That's how good he was, but they never went to him. He wasn't the featured guy. Number 10, Sekou, a guy that plays overseas. He hasn't played no American ball. International number 9 to the Washington Wizards. I think that's going to be some type of Brandy Beal type of deal. They're going to switch that out somewhere. Number 10, Jackson Hayes from Texas, a freshman, 6'11", 220. Wow. I know, young 18-year-olds out here, right? Then Atlanta gets another pick, so that's Cam Reddish, Jason, and it's Keldon Johnson from Kentucky, the 6'6", 210 shooting guard. Then you got, what else you got? You got Brandon Clarks, you got P.J. Washington, Nasir Little, and Bo, the center. A freshman out of Oregon, Manute Bol's son.
Is that right?
Play like a guard. He'll steal in the draft. With this year's NBA now, the way the age is, he can shoot the three, Tony. He can play the point. He's like a Giannis, but he has that small body, 7'3", 235.
Yeah,
but
small.
If you watch the highlights of him.
Okay, I didn't know that was Manute Bol's son.
Manute Bol's son. He coming. That's going to be the steal of the draft. Boston, they say Boston going to pick him. I know Danny Ainge, he could probably going to swindle that trade and do something else and trade it with a player or something. But I think Bo's.
You think he'll be there, man, when that time comes?
He's going to be something. He's going to be amazing. I see it already. So that's just the first 14 picks. I just want to go over that. It's exciting times to watch those highlights of those players. And just to see, you know, it's just something to chill and kick back.
Oh, yeah. Everybody talking about the NBA today, man.
Yep.
You know, the championship is over. The Raptors won. Beat the Golden State Warriors in 6. And then there's always the talk of the asterisk.
That's
because
right.
Thompson was down. Not Thompson. Clay and Durant was down. But you still have to win with the people you got.
End of
the story.
You got to show up still.
Yeah.
Because everybody in the NBA, they all pros. So you're like, we have our whole team. Like, well, everybody on your team was a McDonald's All-American or All-State or a college All-American. So you can't say we got a weak team left over.
I look at it like this, Coach. 5 years, NBA Finals, that's a lot of basketball, a lot of wear and tear, and players' bodies do wear down. And this might be just an indication of all that basketball is catching up with them. So yeah.
500 games. Know. It's at least 100 games to make it to the finals, right?
Yeah.
500 games in 5 years.
It's a lot of ball, man.
Some guys ain't played that many games in their career yet.
In their career, right. So
in 10 years.
It's a factor in how well you are prepared when you get to that point.
Right.
And take nothing away from Toronto.
Because when you look at Clay never missed a game.
No.
He's a warrior. Iron Man. He's a real what you call a warrior.
Yeah. And for the most part, Durant either. He never really had some serious injuries that kept him out. Yep. And, you know, and it finally caught up with LeBron this year. Okay, from all the years that he was playing deep into the NBA playoffs. And this year, first time he ever suffered an injury that kept him out of the lineup for that length of time. So, hey, man, it's just part of the game.
Yep, that's just how it goes, man. It's just that's the new way of doing it. Like you say, LeBron James got his new teammate, AD.
AD.
And guess what? AD and Clay going to be in Space Jam, too.
Is that right?
He got him. He got AD. He got the bra.
He got him.
Man, the bra about to get so much money.
Unibra.
Yes, he about to get so much money.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So that's going to make a difference in the look in the West.
Tinseltown.
Right?
Yeah, they about to be doing it.
Yeah, they look at it. And, you know, Houston, they got a mess in Houston. Deontay did get signed.
Yes, right. Deontay Davis, yep.
Deontay Davis. So he's got to stay on there. You got to be on the contract come July 31st to receive his guaranteed $250,000.
All right.
So Deontay's got to work hard and stay in the gym till July 31st to get paid because that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Okay. There's no jobs in Muskegon that's paying that kind of money. Yeah,
not on $20,000 a month for 10 months.
You need to just be there. Get that money.
Yeah, get that $20,000 a month for 10 months.
So, yeah, that's what's make this so interesting about this draft is all the other, you know, ancillary types of activities that's going around. Because Houston, and nobody wants Paul's contract, okay?
No, man, come on, $160 million, I think?
Nobody wants that contract,
man. 4 years, $40 million a year.
Yeah, who wants to eat that? So, they got a problem. You know, as they're saying, Houston, we got a problem.
Yeah, they can send into a dumping land. Well, who's the new dumping land in the NBA? The Clippers used to be, but they're not no more. The Knicks, the dumping land. They say they called the Knicks, though. They called them. And they was like, no, nah, we okay.
You cannot do that, man. He has to come to the table to renegotiate.
Yeah.
And say, okay, if you want out of Houston, then you got to do something with that contract.
Now, let's go back to that owner that was with the Clippers that was racist.
Remember oh, yeah. Owner?
So
yeah,
he the one gave Chris Paul that contract. To cock, because, you know, Chris Paul is the union rep for the NBA.
He's the president.
Yeah, so he went in. It was like, hey, man, if you pay me to look good on you.
Yeah, he got he's that responsible money. For these max contracts.
Yes, for all these okay. players. Chris Paul is.
Chris Paul was the one that helped negotiate these max contracts.
And all this freedom for these players. That's why the NBA looks like that now. Like, the owners don't hold the power to keep a team together for 10 years no more.
Nope.
Like, I can stay 3 years and I can opt out. 2 years I can opt out. 1 year I can opt out. So, it's just big. Like, this is money. This is the money game right here. This is like, we like y'all talking about basketball. Now, we talking about money because look at Toronto. 37 million people. Economy influx off a team winning a championship.
Yeah, the whole country.
Yep. Tourism's going to go up.
People want to go see you.
Matter of fact, Carabana in August.
Oh, yeah.
Yep,
yeah,
the first week of August.
The festival.
Yeah, so people going to be down there just because of the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
They coming.
Yeah, they seen the city.
Yep.
Looks, you know, and maybe never paid it any attention, but it's a beautiful city. And people want to go see what it looks like up front and in person.
Yep. Before we get ready to segue into everything, the last thing was Juneteenth. Was yesterday.
Yesterday.
1919. Yep, 1919. So I hope you, I don't know, people play the 4-digit. I know they out there doing it. I know everybody did that.
I imagine that number blew up yesterday.
Yeah, I know it did. But that's what it is. I know my guys at the barbershop, they love doing it. So I'm giving them a shout out. So I know they probably touched it. But Juneteenth, and you're looking at the city of Toronto, that's the place that a lot of, even after Juneteenth, when the slaves were freed, they went north. They went to Toronto. So when you look at Toronto Raptors, that's the connection with America. Toronto being the place where a lot of people that were minorities, or I wouldn't say minorities, people that are from other countries like Africa.
It's Hispanic, a melting pot from Haiti, other countries, man.
Right, yeah.
You name it, they're there.
So I'm not going to call us minorities. I'm going to say people that came from other places.
Yeah.
That immigrated and after slavery, they chose, instead of being a sharecropper or going north to work at the plants, they say, I'm going north for real.
Mm-hmm.
We the north. They went to Toronto. So that's just going to get them an empowerment statement, Toronto.
And they got museums in Toronto with the Underground Railroad.
Yes, sir.
That is, you know, very cultural experience that people should take into
Yeah, because when I went there, a lot of restaurants that were soul food restaurants.
Yeah, good food.
Actually, people that had migrated and stayed. Yeah.
And you know they had that Caribbean cuisine switched into the soul food, and it's like the red snapper, the oxtail, the good food.
I mean,
you got the Indian culture, the Arabic culture. Like McDonald's is like, why you want to go to McDonald's when you got all this good food over here? I'm not trying to give a shout out to McDonald's or anything, but when you go to a place like Toronto, it's the cultural diversity is just amazing.
It's so. Every walk of life on the planet Earth. Mm-hmm. Is in Toronto, man.
Yeah. One more sports tidbit. We got Lonzo Ball.
Oh.
Yeah, he said he was looking for his son to get traded to the Pelicans and, you know, and everything. But the problem is, you know, I'm not saying the Me Too movement, but how he disrespected Jalen Rose's wife.
Yeah, man.
He tried to hit on her, man, on air.
Can't do that.
And everybody said, oh, that wasn't that. Nah, man, you got to thank these people. These people are in positions of power. You don't come on national TV playing around with somebody woman.
Mm-mm. No. Well, ESPN made it a swift decision about, you know, the future of interviewing this guy, and it's not going to happen.
That's
going to
hurt his pocket.
He will not be interviewed ever again by ESPN.
That's going to hurt his pocket.
It should.
He's done.
Yeah. Being stupid, man.
So he lost his brand. Now he lost his – now the mouthpiece is gone, so he can't even –
yeah, and people have lost respect for the guy, for those that had it.
And then you got to think, Jalen Rose is a great
ambassador.
Yeah, it's a great personality on ESPN. He's amazing.
Man,
brother Cole.
Yeah, other than Stephen A, man.
Yeah.
He number two, man. In that pecking order at ESPN.
Man, he's the man. He just came out of nowhere.
Yes, he did, man. Very articulate, you know, very astute. Gentleman about sports and life.
I just say that about a Michigan guy, but I always been fond of Jalen Rose.
But he's Detroit, man. He's a Detroit guy.
Right. He's Michigan. He's from our state. That's why U of M. But I always been fond of him, so I can say that about Jalen. I don't look at Jalen as being part of U of M. He's just Jalen Rose.
My guy.
He's
I like
cool,
Jalen.
He's cool, brother.
Yes, he is,
man. So I see that ESPN stood up for him. Like, that's my man's wife, and you just disrespected her like that on national TV.
You'll never talk in a microphone on ESPN again.
Got him up out of there. But then, look, Pete, speaking of disrespect, we got something on a political level. During the Juneteenth.
Oh.
Mitch McConnell. Yeah.
I think he's from Kentucky. I don't hold me to it. But, he didn't have some not very good things to say about Juneteenth.
Because I know the reparations format is coming out right now in our country about should the African people receive reparations. And he justified it by saying, hey, nobody was alive 150 years ago right now. Like, we should just put that water up under the bridge. You got a black president. That should cancel that debt. You should be happy. Look. We're even now.
Uh-huh.
Man, That just stuck me in my heart like somebody got a spear and chucked it. It was like, ugh.
Yeah, no, those are the kind of comments that just need not be made.
That's privilege, though. That's an elitist mindset.
Yes, it is.
And privilege coming in to say, hey, this would.
Yeah, I'm not worried about re-election. Yeah. I'm not worried about my constituents. Yeah,
I got you 8 years. I got you 8 years of the black president. Hey, whatever he did, we're not looking at him as a black president. We're looking at him as diversity of saying, like, okay, the country has made a ripple after 400 years of slavery.
Okay.
So you're telling me 400 years, 8 years?
Right.
Of somebody that tried to make everybody get along? He wasn't coming for one color.
No, he wasn't.
One demographic. He wasn't looking at it like that.
Mm-mm. And was well respected.
Yep. But looking at it, I'm like, I'm going to say this word right here, legacy.
Yep.
Somebody talking from privilege, from an elitist mindset. He didn't even understand his legacy. I mean, 150, you get a 150-year head start on somebody else, it's just certain things you're just going to have somebody else not going to have.
Okay. Simple as that.
You're going to know your history. You're going to have history, generation of education,
mm-hmm.
ownership of land and businesses.
Yep.
Whatever business you were in, if you were in politics, I guess your whole family's in it because that's the history of your family, your legacy. But you talking about people coming from slavery, from nothing, to becoming something. And then you say, oh, we don't owe them nothing. Don't get them nothing. But then the argument, it was a brother that was on CNN. He talked about it. He stressed it. He was like, he talked about why it was important. He said, well, what about the indigenous people?
Okay.
You honor their treaties.
Yep.
What about the Civil War veterans? You honor their treaties. You honor
the Japanese.
Them. Yeah, the Japanese. The endearment counts from them. That was like 1940-something, 45, yep. 46. The Jewish people.
Yep.
So I'm like, wow, he just was like, that don't matter. Yeah, it's just, brother, it just, man.
Brother came at him.
He came at him. And he didn't come at him angry. He didn't come out of control.
Oh, no.
He just, like you said, he set the record straight.
Had his facts. And that's what it's about.
He laid everything out for him. So it's just like, man, I don't know, Tony. It's just when a lot of times see that when you put the microphone in front of elitist and privilege, you're gonna get something. The true person gonna come out who they really are. Mm-hmm. It's gonna come out. And when they come out, he opened his mouth and he was like trying to articulate that and like make it make sense.
Make it make sense.
He tried to make it make sense, Tony. He tried. He really tried, like he really trying. He trying to make somebody forget that happened.
No, man.
Man. Mm-mm. Nobody was alive. That's like the Holocaust.
Right. Like, it didn't happen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The Holocaust can't even compare it to slavery. I'm not looking at somebody's tragedy or trauma that they faced and compare it to slavery. I can't do that.
Mm-mm.
I'm not going to even do that and measure it. I can't measure it because everybody had their own experience in it. But then if somebody got compensated for losing relatives, for not being connected to a continent.
Right.
Because when we say African-American, I always said this. How can I be African and I haven't been there?
Mm-hmm.
And then how can I be American when I'm being arrested, I'm being mistreated, I haven't received the right to vote long enough, I'm redlined, my credit is marginalized, my kids are marginalized, our school districts are marginalized?
Yep.
How can I say I'm African-American and when it's a void in one space, I don't even know what it looked like, but in the space I'm in every day, it's not even equitable.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I'm not even given a fair chance. And then when I'm finally given a fair chance, and I'm taking out this brother's mouth, his name Kanye West, he said, when you see me at the Oscars or the Grammys, when I make it, and he said, I'm sitting next to somebody, I had to work 30 times harder than the person sitting next to me. And that boy crazy.
But he got that figured out.
Yeah, he got that figured out. So I just know I went on a rant about that, but he just, Tony, that just affects me and just really has me thinking like, man, we just got to keep on fighting for equity. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Yep.
So
if you don't get reparations, you still got to continue to do what you got to do.
Got to do what you got to do. And it's a chance that you can make it. Your privilege is going to come because you're going to put in the time and the hard work.
In the work, man.
And make your legacy for the next group of people. So what I have is last week we talked about 10 ways to pull from your IRA to cash it out. So the withdrawals, 10 strategies. Because like you said, when you reach that age.
Mandatory. 7.5.
You got to take a withdrawal.
Yep.
And you only get caught up with the 2 withdrawals, right? And you're getting taxed at those. So number 6 today, Tony, it says automate your RMDs.
Okay.
So if you want to simplify the process and not worry about missing deadlines, most IRA administrators let you know automate your RMDs.
Yeah.
You can usually sign up to have the money withdrawn every month or quarters, every 3 months,
mm-hmm,
by a certain date each year.
Yep, it goes directly into your bank account. So you don't have to worry about remembering that you need to make that distribution. Just undone automatically.
Especially at a certain age.
Like, oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm on vacation in Swahili. I mean, I'm on vacation in Australia. Oh, I forgot to make the withdrawal.
Nope, you don't have to worry about it.
Yep,
it's done automatic.
Yep.
That's it. That's a smart move.
The next one is donate to charity and get a tax break. So after 70 and a half, you can transfer up to $100,000 directly from your IRA to a charity each year called a qualified charitable distribution, which counts towards the RMD but isn't included in your adjusted gross income.
Okay. So that's interesting.
Why they take that away then? Because it's like...
Yeah, and I don't know if that is part of the
That'll help you, won't it, though? It's like...
It's going to help you because you don't have a taxable income. Because
you don't have to say, I gave $100,000 to somebody, but then it's not saying, okay, that's not a part of my adjusted gross income, so it won't go against me or it won't help me either. It's just like, all right, you just gave it.
Well, it helps in the sense that you don't pay the government taxes on the $100,000. You're able to give that $100,000 to some charitable organization that you feel, you know, good about, that you want to help. So that's the benefit of it. And evidently, I would have to cross-reference the the new
tax law.
Tax laws, as far as does that still qualify for that amount of money under the charitable contributions?
Now, but it says, look, it says this strategy can be particularly helpful now that fewer people itemize their deduction and otherwise wouldn't get a tax break for their charitable gifts.
Okay.
So it said,
evidently it does take into account, but I guess the key factor is that you are 70 and a half and you're giving that money up, which evidently eliminates you from the ceiling that you can give for charitable contributions. But I'll make a note of that one and do some research on that one.
Yeah. Number eight, it says, roll your money over to a Roth. You always talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically what happens is if you are in a traditional IRA and you roll it in a Roth, you're going to pay the taxes. It's called recharacterizing the traditional to a Roth. So the point of the matter is the government wants to get their money.
You have to pay taxes. That's what they say. You have to pay taxes.
You're going to pay the taxes, but yet now I can go to the Roth, and now I'm good because I've taken my distribution.
All right, so the money in there, so you don't have to worry about how you spend it or you got it.
Like, right.
I got my distribution. I don't need it this month.
The government got what they want.
Yep. I don't need it this year. Or I don't need it this month. It's in that account.
Yep.
So you can keep on building, and you can stack it how you want it then after that.
That's right. Yep. So that's why it's good to have two. I always say you should have two, the Roth and a traditional IRA.
So you can switch them out. Like when that money hit, you can just like, boom, just
automatically
withdraw. Okay.
Yeah. Nice and clean.
We write that down, audience.
Nice and clean.
Get both. Tony said you get both. So you could be just be transferring to accounts, not robbing Peter and paying Paul like, oh, my account is
negative. No, it's just moving money. Like I said, the taxable event will take place once you move it from the traditional to the Roth, and the government just wants to know, make sure that they got their percentage, and they're good after that. It's all about the taxes.
That's it. As long as you handle that, you got that money, that extra money sitting there.
Yep.
I was talking to a mentor of mine. He said he had like a certain amount of money just sitting there. I was like, what you doing with it? He said, I had to make these withdrawals. I had to take these RMDs. So that's what we're talking about. I was like, he said, how much there? I don't even say it, audience, the number. I'm like, why is it sitting there? He said, I don't know. I'm going to do something with it. I was like.
Yeah, well, if you don't, the government will.
Yeah. But he already made the withdrawal, right? And it's in an account. He just got it in an account. And I'm like, he's like 77 or something like that.
Okay.
So he just chilling with it. He's like, I don't need it. I don't know.
Right, that must be a good feeling.
I'm like, wow. See, hang around people that got money like that, you learn a lot.
You learn a lot.
Man, you will. That's a lesson for myself just by being around paying attention. So the last one, number nine, says consider a QLAC, money you invest in a deferred income annuity known as a qualified longevity annuity contract, is removed from your RMD calculation. You can invest up to $130,000, right? And it says, for 25% of the balance of your traditional IRA, which is ever less at any age. Most people do this in their 50s or 60s. You pick the age when you would like to start receiving your annual lifetime income, usually in your 70s or 80s, no later than 85. So, for example, a 60-year-old man who invests $130,000 in this account, this QLAC, could receive about $37,000 per year starting at age 80. That removes $130,000 from the R&D calculations, and he won't have to pay taxes on that money until it starts to receive the $37,000 payouts at age 80. But that's that age, though.
Yeah. You
man, I don't know.
You got a crapshoot.
Yeah. So if
rolling dice, man.
So if you die, I mean, if you pass, the money just goes to your heirs, right?
Yeah. To your beneficiaries.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yep, and then now they gotta decide what they're gonna do from a taxable event.
That's right, because they're younger.
Well, they're younger, and this is not life insurance.
Okay? Yeah, that's right. Life insurance come to you in the money.
Life insurance is not taxable.
That's right.
Okay, so some annuity products do have life policies component to it, but it's not 100%. So a portion of it, depending on how it's structured, could be tax free. If there was a death benefit within the annuity. But most of it, depending on how you did your will or what have you, if it's any issues, it goes to probate. Now we got other issues that come in here because now there's going to be a cost associated with probating whatever proceeds that was sitting there.
That's why it's good to have a will.
Yeah.
Because that probate eat that money up.
Probate will take care of it. We'll do what you didn't do.
Little check be coming to you. Oh, we got the little check for you. He's like, what's it? Was $37,000. Hey.
Nope. So, yeah. And that's an exercise that everybody should do is a will. And it's not that complicated. Most folks are afraid of it because they think that it's really a complicated event. But it's really not. It's kind of like your last will and testament. And however you want to fashion it, that's what you do.
Now, that's why you see Big Mama, some of the Big Mamas leaving in a horse and carriage, because that's what they put in their will and testament.
That's
it. And they had the money. You're like, whoop, funeral was nice. Everybody happy though. They eating good, and she dressed up nice, Big Mama looking good, and they got the horse and carriage, and the coffin is pearl. You're like, wow, how that happened?
Yeah, because some of them sitting out there saying, man, I wouldn't spend that money if she been.
But that will and testament.
Glad she did it that way. Yep,
the will and testament, because she got some bread. She's like, I'm going out. Like, I want to go out. So right. I see the reason why.
Yeah.
So the last one before we end the day, it says, don't pay more in taxes than you have to. And you just talked about that.
That's it. Bottom line, man.
Yep. So if your full IRA contributions were made with pre-tax or tax-deductible money, your RMDs will be fully taxable. But if you made any non-deductible contributions, a portion of each withdrawal will be tax-free. Keep track of your tax basis on a form 8606 so you don't have to pay more in taxes than you owe. So
yeah, and this is basically saying that there are some retirement vehicles that you've already paid taxes on when you invest the money, so therefore it does not become taxable under the required distribution method. So yeah, you need to have that in order, because they, you know, don't give the government any more than what they deserve.
Please don't. That's what we do. Some people do an income tax return, keep on filling out them 1040 easies and just getting that W-2. We got to figure out a different game.
Right.
Yep. Today's scripture, good for nothing, trust God with the least. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, my brothers and sisters, believers in Lord Jesus Christ, must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man with filthy clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but you say to the poor man, you stand here or sit on the floor by my feet. You have not discriminated. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So I pulled this scripture, Tony, because I thought about your buddy Mitch.
The
senator, because Mitch he's like, forget about that. That's showing favoritism right there.
It is.
So, audience, I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.